Welcome to Australian Women Preach, a podcast that aims to raise women's voices in preaching the gospel. Our intention is to model the church we want to be, inclusive, diverse, and welcoming. Brought to you by WATAC, Women and the Australian Church, and The Grail in Australia. Alice Cawardine is the coordinator of Caritas Catholic Earth Care, an organisation committed to addressing environmental issues through Catholic social teaching. She holds a master's degree in theology with a focus in eco-theology, reflecting her passion for the intersection between faith and care for the planet. Alice is a member of the Laudato Si Action Platform Working Group, collaborating with the Dicastery for Promoting Human Integral Development to implement Pope Francis's environmental encyclical.
Well, Jingri, hello. Today I am sharing with you, friends, on the land of the Yugambeh language-speaking peoples. I respectfully acknowledge the Yugambeh elders who have walked this land and cared for it for thousands of years. I pay my respects to any First Nations peoples listening today. I offer my prayer for you in the lead up to the referendum that you may find peace during this time. Today, as we reflect on the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 to 35, on this 24th Sunday in Ordinary Time, let us also acknowledge that we are celebrating the season of creation. The season of creation is an ecumenical celebration worldwide that runs from September 1st to October 4th and culminating on the feast day of the mystic St. Francis of Assisi. The theme for this year's celebration is to let justice and peace flow, inspired by the Book of Amos and the image of a mighty river. We are called to join the river of justice and peace, to take up climate and ecological justice, and to speak out with and for communities most impacted by climate injustice. Pope Francis reminded us in his message on the 1st of September for the World Day of Prayer for the Care of Creation that too many of our brothers and sisters are prevented from drinking from the mighty river. We are called to stand with the victims of environmental and climate injustice and end the war against creation. He speaks of the need for richer nations to pay our ecological debt to the poor and vulnerable who are disproportionately impacted by climate change. Caritas Australia is just one organisation helping communities across the globe respond to the impacts of climate change through mitigation and adaptation. Development programs consider ecological impacts, and our aid programs support those impacted by climate-related disasters, such as war, droughts, rising sea levels, and increased natural disasters. Last year, Caritas's Twin Clouds report analyze the current economic challenges faced by the Pacific Island nations. They concluded that their economic challenges are significantly impacting the nation's abilities to mitigate natural disasters and adapt to the changing climate. It was identified that larger, richer nations need to give more to these countries in need. But there is more to it than just money. My colleagues at Caritas Australia have also been considering what we call the non-economic losses, loss of language, culture, and spirituality, all things that are at risk as a result of climate change, as the vulnerable are forced to flee their homelands and seek refuge on neighbouring islands and in neighbouring nations. We ask the question, how do we help displaced communities that seek refuge in foreign countries to maintain their language culture, and religious practices. Truly, the impacts of climate change are more widespread than we thought. Hence, the Pope's call during this time for a change of heart, a change of lifestyle, and the need to act for ecological justice. In my own journey to ecological conversion, I have committed and made changes in my lifestyle to reduce my ecological footprint. There is always more to be done, and the journey continues. But as many of you would feel, there is only so much that we as individuals have the capacity to do and change. Often, this causes us to feel angry or frustrated with larger corporations, government and policymakers, and those in leadership positions choosing to continue to exploit the earth for profit. But we are reminded in the gospel reading this week about the need to forgive. Peter asks Jesus, "How many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" And then Jesus answers, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times." Jesus then tells a story about a servant who asks for forgiveness of his master, but then refuses to forgive others. The act of forgiving has the capacity to transform, hence why Jesus tells Peter that we must always forgive. Firstly, forgiveness from those who we have forsaken, when partnered with our own behavioral change, builds trust between ourselves and those we have wronged. When the team at Caritas has been considering these non-economic losses and damages caused by climate change, it occurred to me that there is much we can learn from the history of Australia. The behaviour of the colonial powers over the last two centuries did nothing but cause non-economic loss and damage to our First Nations peoples, as they were stripped of their language, culture, and were removed from their countries and were forced to reject their spirituality. In the lead up to the referendum, Australia has the opportunity to do this behavioural change. True reconciliation comes when we refuse to repeat our actions of the past. Therefore, there is a lesson to be learned here for how we can serve those facing the same losses as a result of climate change. As a wealthy nation, not only can we be giving more economically to support these nations to mitigate and adapt to climate change, but we can support those who will be forced to flee their homes too. As climate refugees settle in new lands, we as a global society can help to ensure that their language is maintained, cultural practices can continue, and we can create spaces and places for them to practice their religious rituals without forcing them to conform to the predominant culture and religion of their new host country. The second point I would like to make about forgiveness is this. Forgiveness of others who have wronged us can bring peace to ourselves as we let go and move on. Forgiving the enemy can help us to love. Joanna Macy is the author of a book called Coming Back to Life. It's a book on spiritual practices to help individuals and groups navigate the current collapse of our ecosystems. In her book of practices, she encourages the practice of acknowledging the enemy and finding ways to thank them as a practice of forgiveness. As my journey towards ecological conversion was beginning, I struggled with the lack of convenience that was suddenly thrust upon me. As I began composting and making more food from scratch, having to learn how to mend things and grow things and needing to sacrifice time and money to get solar panels on our roof, I found it hard knowing that there was a more convenient way of doing these things. I was initially very put off by the need to reject convenience, as are many others. I was angry that I had to make sacrifices. I was even more angry when others around me weren't making the same sacrifices. and it took me a while to determine that my enemy was convenience. It took me a while to realize that by living more simply, by making those sacrifices, I was actually transforming into a new way of being. I came to love the fact that I could take my composted scraps and add them to the soil to continue the cycle of life. I enjoyed learning new skills of sewing and carpentry. I learned resilience in making mistakes when my new recipes didn't work out very well, and thoroughly enjoyed it when I created a new culinary masterpiece. I enjoyed learning these skills from others and building relationships in the process. So now I'm no longer angry at inconvenience. I'm glad to sacrifice the convenience that perpetuated my materialism and consumerism. I have come to enjoy a new way of living soberly and have learned to love and appreciate the items that I own and the relationships that I have. And I've rejected the throwaway culture. So during this season of creation, it is also a time to find ways to ask creation and ask God for forgiveness of our ecological sins. Sins such as our dissociation from creation, our exploitive and harmful practices, our behaviors that contribute to inequality and waste, and lastly, our greed and arrogance. One of the ways that we can show creation and show God that we are truly sorry for our ecological sins is to live out ecological virtues. Father Jostrom Karithedam offers that there are seven virtues: praising the divine presence of God in creation, being grateful for the gifts of creation, caring for creation so that ecological justice and justice for the poor might be achieved, working for the common good and seeing ourselves as instruments of God's peace, living sober lifestyles, and humbling ourselves before the grandeur of nature. We have to be like Peter and ask, "How shall I forgive those in our world who continue to intentionally harm creation?" We have to ask creation to forgive us of our sins for the harm that we have also caused, and know that God does forgive us. We need to take action, though, to work towards justice in our world for those impacted by climate change and learn from our mistakes. We take action by changing our behaviors and living a virtuous life. This helps us to transform ourselves and transform society into a new way of being.
You have been listening to Australian Women Preach, brought to you by WATAC, Women and the Australian Church, and The Grail in Australia. You can find out more about WATAC at watac.net.au and The Grail at grailaustralia.org.au. The music in this podcast is from the song Truth, from the album Into Silence, by songwriter, musician, theologian and teacher Danielle Ann Lynch. You can hear the full version on Spotify.